Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Good morning, guys. I'm Jimmy. We're going to tell you about the Joy Candle today. This is my family, Stephanie, Emma, and Andrew. We're going to read from Luke 2, 10 through 11. Fear not, for behold, I bring you the good news of great joy. For unto you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Today we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. The third candle is pink because it represents a shift from waiting to rejoicing. Traditionally called the Gaudete candle, from the Latin word rejoice, it reminds us that joy breaks into our waiting as the celebration of Christ's birth draws near. Joy is more than a feeling. It is the deep confidence that God is working, God is present, and God keeps his word. The birth of Jesus is good news of great joy because he is Savior who enters our brokenness and brings us life, hope, and redemption. Even in sorrow, his strengthens us. Even in waiting, his joy lifts us. We light the candle to remember that Christ brings joy, a joy that shines on our darkness, fills our hearts with hope, and reminds us that God is with us. That's it. Good job.
There we go. If you're coming to Reach to have perfect, unflawed services, you clearly came to the wrong place. But the good news is you can be a mess and God can still use you. Amen. So this morning, we continue Advent talking about joy. Anybody struggle with having joy during the holiday season? You don't have to raise your hand because that person, you know, beside you, what are you talking about? So on the third Sunday of Advent, we light the pink candle or the rose-colored candle. Traditionally, it's also called the shepherd's candle, partly because of the verse that we just read and verses that we're going to cover today. It represents joy. But like hope and peace that we covered in the weeks previous Advent, joy also contains counterfeits. Everything God gives you that is good, the world, you will create something that mimics it, that will be a substitute for the real thing. Almost always, it comes in short-lived bursts. I would be a liar to tell you that some things aren't nice in the moment. But we're not talking about the moment. We're talking about what God does over long periods of time. And we want God to intervene for us and give us joy. Joy also has many counterfeits. And one of the most common substitutes, and we use these words interchangeably, and I've said this before if you've been around Reach for a while, one of its substitutes is happiness. You're like, what are you talking about? I want happiness. Of course you do. But let me just tell you the difference between the two. Happiness is a state of well-being or contentment. Oh, that sounds great, right? Right. It's a pleasurable or satisfying experience. You know what experiences do? They last for a short period of time. Think of them. Think about things that you're like, man, that was great, but is that greatness done anything to you other than in the moment go, man, that in the memory of the moment, going, man, that was cool, but doesn't carry over. Joy, however, is a source or cause of great happiness. It is rooted in something or someone that produces lasting delight. And the beauty of joy is that it can be ours in spite of our circumstances. In spite of what's going on in our world, we can have and experience joy And Josh talked about this a little last week with a lot of it's one perspective away, one thought shift away. So here's the question. Do you want an experience that fades, maybe nice in the moment, or a connection to the source that endures? Trying to find joy in the trappings and traditions of Christmas is like opening a beautifully wrapped present labeled joy inside, only to discover that the box is empty. You could sit there, some of you right now, like us, you have a Christmas tree in your house, you have presents underneath it, and there's anticipation potentially for the names that are on it of going, what's in here? And could you imagine on Sunday morning, you would have joy leading up to the moment of looking at that box and thinking, that box has something that's going to make me happy, something that is going to make Christmas morning great. But imagine on Christmas morning opening those boxes and finding absolutely nothing. What we do when we place our happiness on things that can be taken away from us. When we place our happiness on things that can easily just fade away. Our traditions don't contain joy. You may not like that, but let me explain. They point to it. The danger with traditions is traditions can become the point instead of pointing to the thing that we're here for. Let it be clearly plain here. We're not pointing you to a fat man in a red suit that is going to break into your house and instead of stealing, place things there for your children. That is not our point. Our point is looking to one that gives a gift that lasts past these moments. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. You can remember gifts that you imagined getting them. Those things hold little excitement to you anymore. They may have filled your Christmas day morning. They may have excited you through the end of the year, but they've faded and probably gone into the trash. If you want those empty places in your hearts truly filled, we must look not merely at Christmas, but through Christmas to the one who is indestructible and has unspeakable joy for us to be found in Him alone. Let's pray. Father, there's so many distractions in our minds right now. There's so many things that are going on that rob us of lasting joy. And Lord, I pray this morning as we look through the encounter of the angels with the shepherds that you would help us shift our perspective back to that place where joy remains, where our eternity is secure, where our sins are forgiven, where our righteousness is held. And let us look to you this morning and replace a temporary happiness with an everlasting joy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this verse in Psalms 16, verse 11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I love that phrase. Fullness of joy. It's probably something very few of us experienced in its fullness. We maybe experience joy, but it's hard to stay in that place. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy because He is the source. He's not a sample that tastes real good. He's not a taste. He's the source. Then Luke 2 introduces us to the unlikely first witnesses of that joy. And we're going to talk about this. I love this scene. Anytime angels show up, it's always entertaining. It's always terrifying for those that experience it, but it's entertaining for us. So we're going to jump into Luke 2, verse 8 through 13. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. God announced the birth of Jesus to unlikely people like shepherds. Why shepherds? Because God often announces His greatest news to the least likely people. Shepherds were considered unclean. They weren't able to even testify in court. They weren't able to participate in all of the stuff that would be normal to Jews because they were out in the field, dirty and unclean, unable to be near the presence of God, which to them was in this one place. They were kept from it because of their job. I listened to one guy said that they were like the high school dropouts, that this was the best job that they could get and hope for. And this is who Jesus showed up to. They were outsiders, forgotten by society, yet chosen by God. And what's crazy is most likely, and this may ruin people's world, I'm sorry, Jesus was most likely not born. Let's just say this, was not born on December 25th. Lots of stuff there. But shepherds, what were they shepherding? They were shepherding the spotless lambs that would be used in the sacrifice to cleanse the people. And who were they? Remember their job. They were out there, isolated from everyone else, keeping these lambs safe so they could be used for the sacrifice, which they couldn't even really participate in because of their uncleanliness. And they are the ones that get to witness the birth of the last sacrificial lamb. It tells us something about the heart of God. Joy is not reserved for the spiritually elite. Some of you this morning may be going, well, I can't experience or have joy because I'm not very good. And here's the goodness of the gospel. None of us are. If it was up to our goodness and our behavior and what we bring to the table, none of us could experience the fullness of joy that is promised here. It is only through our relationship with Jesus, the one that they were visiting. Joy comes to the ordinary, to the messy, to the overlooked people like us. They got something that no one else. And remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Mary's encounter with the angels. God had been silent for hundreds of years. So, and I'm sure Mary's, it's not like it went viral. Mary went on TikTok and be like, the angel showed up to me, and all these people were aware of this. These angels that appeared here in just a second to these shepherds, they had no idea about Mary's story. They weren't aware of what was going on already through Elizabeth and Mary. They were brought into this here in this moment. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Yes, when you're out in the field and it is dark at night, and all of a sudden, not in our era, there was no lighting that you could turn on other than lamps or candles or fires. All of a sudden, the sky is lit. An angel appears. Yes, you are terrified. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. It's fitting here to remind ourselves that joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is a feeling that changes with our circumstances. It's based on our situation. It changes when the situation does. You could be completely happy when you get this new thing. I got a new truck recently. After having a truck for 9 years with lots of miles on it, I like my truck. And I got a ding in my nice truck. It's on the back of the tailgate. You can go look at it. It's still not fixed. Thanks, Jimmy, for sending me that guy. I haven't reached out to him yet. But you know what? In that moment, I'm like, oh my God, my truck is hurt. Because this thing can bring, and there's something like, I have to be very cautious. I remember listening to this one book, this pastor, or their missionaries, I think, and they had gotten finally a kind of a newer, nicer car, and he's driving down the road with his son, and his son's like, I love this car. He pulls over real fast on the side of the road, and he turns off the car, and he looks at his son, and he says, we love people, not things. And we have to be cautious that we're not looking to things to give us happiness. Because if you go to a car lot and buy a newer car or a new car, in a moment, it will give you something. We would lie to you to say it wouldn't feel nice, but that niceness will go away. It may fade slower, but it will fade. Happiness is different. It changes when our situation does. You do not have to have happiness to have joy. Notice it doesn't say, instead of great joy, great happiness. Happiness shifts with circumstances. Joy doesn't. Joy holds steady when circumstances fall apart. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, a gift of God. The angels declared good news of great joy because a Savior is born. And not a Savior for the religious elite, not a Savior just for the Pharisees and Sadducees who had been preparing for this moment and on the surface looked holy and pure, but for all people. From the beginning, God has wanted to influence the world, not just a segment of people. And here is the reason for that joy. Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Something that even the shepherds would be aware of what this means. They'd been waiting for this moment. They'd been waiting for a Savior to come and be what the promise prophecies had declared hundreds of years before. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Not just for people, but unto you. It is personal. I love the interaction. Later on, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and there's word spread around about all these things that potentially Jesus is, the people that he might be. And the world was speculating, maybe he's John the Baptist raised from the dead, maybe he's one of the Old Testament prophets come back, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. And Jesus is aware of this, and he has a conversation with his disciples. Who do people say that I am? And they say the exact same thing that the world is saying, but then he turns it. And here's probably the most important question, I think, one of the most important questions in our New Testament. He turns the question, he says, but who do you say that I am? Like, let me just tell you, it doesn't matter what this church believes. I mean, it does, but for you and your salvation, handle my illustration here. It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what your family believes. It doesn't matter what your spouse believes. It doesn't matter what your children believe. It only matters what you believe. Jesus does not come to save you through other people. In a sense, their faith saves us. My children have to say yes to Jesus, just like every one of us have to have that moment where we declare, who is Jesus to us? God didn't just send a message, he sent proof. He could have said, hey, this is what's going on, and they could have left it right there. Honestly, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, but that's really a lot of what we do. Sometimes we're reading through our Bibles, and we're like, man, this is cool. Like, this is like, man, there's something here. And we leave it at that moment. And this is what happens with the angels. They show up and they declare this. And they could be like, all of this was amazing. And it could have filled their life with stories forever as they told people when the sky lit up and the angels appeared to us and declared this, but it wasn't enough for them. It wasn't enough for them just to hear. It wasn't enough for them just to experience that moment, which would be beyond amazing. They didn't settle for an experience or a light show. They moved towards Jesus, which is what he's calling us to do. Look, I'm not as concerned about what you know. I'm more concerned about what you do with what you know. Your actions don't save you, but your actions, you can go to James for this, but your actions show you what is going on here. I heard this, or read this one author that says that you only believe in the parts of the Bible that you do, and there's so much of our life that we declare who God is and how good He is, but we don't do some of the things that we see here. And so these shepherds, these outcasts, these people that can't even testify to anything, they want to go see. Remember their testimony, it wouldn't really matter. They couldn't go to the court and say, this is what I've seen, because their testimony wasn't considered worthy. And this is where many of us get stuck. We stop at this first step. We enjoy the Christmas atmosphere. We enjoy the lights. We enjoy the nostalgia, but never move towards the Savior those things point to. And it can happen every year. Let me just tell you, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize everything. I'm not a big fan of everything's a demon. Okay? But more things are demonic than we think. And the enemy would love to keep you worried about your budget and how much money you owe and what gifts you need to get and this one's out of stock and these family members you got to spend time around. See, some of y'all get it. Not me. I love all my family and they're amazing. And you could have all these things and be like, man, and before you know it, it's January. Before you know it, before you even really take a thought or reflect about what this amazing thing that we're celebrating, and it is amazing. Our God loved us so much that He didn't just from afar, and this is what He tried to do for a long time. Like, okay, here's the rule. Here's the law. Obey this, and you can work towards me. And that, of course, did not work. It doesn't work then. It doesn't work now. And God, and honestly, we can look at it like, well, man, His first plan didn't work. His first plan was Jesus. Okay? It's for Genesis 3:15. You can look at it. It's the first plan. God had an issue because Adam and Eve sinned, broke our world, and God could have been like, I'm going to start over, and He didn't start over. He pointed to His plan. The first sacrifice happened, the first covering of sin happened at the hand of God as He took their leaves away where they covered their nakedness, and He sacrificed the first animal to cover their sin, and He had this plan that was working from the beginning. And this is what this season is about. It should be pointing us to Jesus. We should be taking moments away from these trees and away from the gifts and away from the stuff and point our attention, because before you know it, I'm going to pre-tell you, January, we do this every year. We're doing a series called Begin Again, because every January I want you to rethink what you want your year to look like. But how much more valuable would January be if you right now on the 14th of December decided to not wait until you're forced to look at a new year and go, I want to prepare for 2026. I want to prepare what God is doing in me. Verse 16. And so what did they do? And they went with haste. Heck yeah. Haste. Maybe they had a Peter and John incident where they ran to the tomb. Y'all know what I'm talking about? John, who wrote the book of John, declares that he won that foot race. Questionable. I think it's a little petty. But they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as they had been told. And here's what is remarkable. At this point, Jesus, the Savior of the world, is a baby. Not powerful. He's not floating in the air, glowing. You think, but look what's happened here. Okay, so we have Mary who got this word from an angel. You're going to be impregnated, which is crazy, by God. And she had 9 months. Okay, midway through, she did see Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit moved, and she spoke. And you'd be like, okay, faith. Well, she gets to the birth of this baby, and I would think the birth of this baby was like all the other births that had ever happened. So you could be looking at this baby going, is this real? Like, is there, she could have been like, because the angel wasn't showing up every day. Like, girl, you got this? I told you, it's fine? No. But she had to ponder this. And so then these shepherds just show up out of nowhere, and they come in, and they're like, look what has happened. The angel showed up. There was a light show. There was song. There was, like, the telling of who this is. And Mary ponders it because it's going to be 30 years. 30 years of waiting for Jesus to step into the ministry that is going to lead to the cross. Let me just tell you, if you don't anchor your joy on something that doesn't move, it will fall away from you. Look at Mary. She could have any moment going, this isn't worth it. We're faced with that same thing today. You have to say, is it worth it? Is Jesus the place of the fullness of joy? Can he sustain me year in, year out? Because I would love to say, man, if this clicks in your head and in your heart, then everything's going to be great. No issues. No air conditioning units that die at your house this week. Personal experience. Not working heat downstairs right now. Oh yeah, got to get a new one. That's great, right before Christmas. And it could be like, okay, God, why don't you love me? Now, those units are 14 years old, and I think God's been loving me for a long time. Every year, I'm like, every season change, I'm like, please work, please work. And I could look at it and be like, God, why? Instead of looking at it and going, because my in-laws, they had theirs house built at the same time. Theirs were replaced like 5 years ago. So every year, I've been like, but I could take in the moment and be like, why? And let me just tell you, if you're not faced with it now, you'll be faced with it soon. Of your question to your own soul, is God still good? And let me just tell you, that is not something that you're going to walk out of here. If I look at you in the face and say, God is good, you're going to believe me until the next thing hits you in the face. You have to believe it yourself. And the only way that happens is you take when God speaks and you walk into it. Because that's what happened with these shepherds. God spoke through the angels, declared a truth. And what did they do? They went to that truth to see what it was. And I believe that God has declared things to us that we have to walk into. It's not going to be handed to you. Like somebody's not, they might. I've heard some testimonies. But for the most part, God's going to lead you into things which you need to step out in faith. And Peter, when he was on that boat in the storm and Jesus came walking by and they're like, is that the Lord? And Peter's like, if it's you, call me out there. Like that storm didn't stop. He stepped out onto that water and I don't know what that felt like. But I'm sure it wasn't like, I'm sure it had a little wobble in it. But he walked on that. And I'm telling you, we have to go, is God good enough for this? Whatever's going on in your life, you have to go, God, are you good? Because that's the question that you'll wrestle with. Because there will be the world, people, circumstances will tell you over and over again that God's not good. Because if God was good, he wouldn't. If God was good, he wouldn't. Our only option for sanity, in my opinion, is God is good. And our only place that we get to look and see that he's good over and over again is his word. Even though Jesus was still a baby, their joy was rooted not in what they saw in the moment, but what God had promised would come from this baby. Joy grows when we trust in God's promises before we see its fulfillment. That's our life. It's a lot of, God, I'm going to step and believe that you are who you declare you are because I have no other choice. And let me just tell you, and I say this a lot, I believe in God historically, meaning I've seen him show up in my life over and over again. It's hard living in the future historically, meaning when the next thing comes, it's real easy to look at it and go, is he going to again? Even though for 49 years of my life, it's not been easy, it's not been pleasant all the time, but I can always go, look what God has done. And the only thing that you have to do is wait until that next thing that you can see God in what's going on. But trouble comes when we stop trusting those promises. So here's some questions for you. Where are you stepping out of trust and into your own way of thinking? Like God declares, this is what you should do. Some of you, I'm just gonna say this right now. Some of you, it's your budget. And God's going, don't live that way. Debt is an anchor. In this season, we just pile it on, but we think, oh, it'll give us happiness, it'll make our kids happy, and we keep just charging to that glorious plastic or metal card, and how fancy you are. And we keep looking to it to satisfy us, and it's not going to. Because God's going, hey, you have to trust me over here. And sometimes that means saying no to things that we want. Not everything that you want is going to get you what you want. So here's some applications for us. When heaven meets earth, our only right response is real and lasting joy. Because it's connected to something that doesn't change. This is good news of great joy. And the question this morning is, are you experiencing it? Are you experiencing this good news of great joy? If not, why not? Maybe you've been chasing the experience of happiness instead of the source of joy. Maybe you've been trying to manufacture a feeling instead of receiving the gift. John Piper has a quote. It says it this way. The fight for joy is not a struggle to carry a burden, but a struggle to let a burden be carried for us. The life of joy in God is not a burden life, it is an unburdened life. To trust God with the burdens of life. And some of us, that's where we're at this morning. Like he promises, come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, which is light and easy. And what that means is we have to take off this other yoke that we've placed on ourselves and take on his and let him lead and guide us. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. Joy comes not from holding everything together, but from letting God hold you. So today, the pink candle reminds us joy has come, joy is available, and joy is offered. But it's not offered in an experience, it's offered in a person. And it's not for a moment, it's not in a tradition, it's not in a feeling, but it's in a Savior, one born to us. And if you will move towards him like the shepherds, you will find him faithfully to fill you with the joy that you're made for. You're made for the fullness of joy. And in my opinion isn't that if you switch your circumstances, you'll find that fullness of joy. I believe that if you switch your perspective, you can experience that fullness of joy. And what I'd like to do, we're going to have prayer team in the back. There's actually a place in the back that you can also take communion this morning. And if you're trying to manufacture happiness and it's not working and you need some help, see our prayer team. Don't sit here wondering, like, how do I get there? Where am I going to go? But look for the one place, Jesus. If you'll stand up, I'm going to bless you, and then we're going to worship. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and give and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we want real, lasting joy, and that isn't going to come from all the things that the world is promising that will deliver. Give us momentary happiness. Lord, help us set our attention and to plant our feet firmly on You. And so let us place our joy fully on the reality that You gave a messy, messed up people the ability to know and be loved by You. So, Lord, I pray that we would put our trust in You. Where we're running our own way, Lord, I pray for surrender again and again. That we would declare You the good and glorious Savior of our souls. So that our lives can be transformed, so that our families can be transformed, so that You can change us. So, Lord, would You meet us this morning? Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.